Well, welcome again. Hello. That's a little hot, isn't it? We've got a different mic this week, and we'll see what works with this thing here. But welcome to New Hope and our annual church picnic. We all enjoy a picnic. Again, as I said, we're inside today rather than being outside, but we will be outside in just a short period of time, and we all enjoy a picnic. We love having a picnic. I'm going to pull this down a little bit. It's not quite so hot. Picnic is defined as an excursion in which the participants carry food with them and share a meal in the open air. Simple enough, we carry food, we share a meal in open air. We're all very good at that. We like doing that. And there's something unique about getting together. I mean, not unique so much in a picnic, but it is different. It's different just gathering, getting everybody together, having a picnic, having some fun, spending some time together, breaking bread together. I think we specifically enjoy it. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that, you know, I love this time of year. We wait all winter for the sun to come out and for the rain to stop and the snow to go away and to be able to be outside just in shirt sleeves. And what a great time to get together. So we always gather once a year at a picnic for what we call food fellowship and fun. And we understand what that means. We've got the food part down pretty good. We're pretty proficient at that. We all like having fun. We enjoy having fun together. And we enjoy fellowship. But do we really understand what we mean when we say fellowship? I mean, we have some general understanding about it. But, you know, fellowship is one of those what I've called before church words. You know, you hear about fellowship in a church, but you don't. I mean, how many of you have with friends in the world would call each other and say, let's get together for some fellowship? They don't talk like that. That's a church word, you know. We have our fellowship halls, we have our fellowship dinners, our fellowship meetings. So we say we're getting together for food, fun, and fellowship. But what is fellowship? What does it mean? Is it a biblical term? Is we understand it from the Bible? And if it is, what does the Bible have to say about it? What does God think about our fellowship? How important is our fellowship one with another? The dictionary defines fellowship as companionship, a mutual sharing of experiences, of activities, or interests, a group of people with the same interest. So that's kind of a start, but there's a deeper meaning when we talk about church fellowship. How many have ever heard the word koinonia? Several of you, that's because you've been in church for a while. How many know what koinonia means? Basically, generally, it means fellowship, but in a much deeper sense. Koinonia comes from a root meaning common or shared communion distribution. In a biblical sense, it can mean giving common participation in something either by giving what you have to another person or receiving what she or he has. So it's more than just being together. It's a give and it's a take and it's an expression of being with each other. A sharing, a bonding is really the essence of fellowship. It's not just a quick little meal. It's not just let's chat a little bit, how's things going in your life. I mean, it's all part of it, but it has a much deeper sense biblically to it. It's a give and a take in a very real way. And that's the essence of fellowship. And fellowship is really the essence of the body of Christ. When you talk about the body and you look at all the Bible says about the body of Christ and joining together in fellowship and community, it is very deep in the body of Christ, very important. And we can have biblical fellowship vertically and horizontally. What do I mean by that? Well, we understand that vertically, the Bible says we can have fellowship with God. And we have this fellowship, this communion, this deep bond, this sharing of God, give and taking. And, of course, on our side of it, it's mostly just taking other than giving him praise and worship in our time and our service. And we can have a vertical relationship with God, and we have a horizontal relationship with each other, with our fellow man. Over the years, you may have heard the expression, we're talking about fellowship, one way of defining is a bunch of fellows in the same ship. I mean, you know, and when you think about what does that mean? You're in this thing together. You're out in the middle of the ocean, and it's just you. And it's so kind of understanding the fellowship there. But, you know, fellowship with God, as I said, is a vertical relationship. And when you think about that vertical relationship that you can have with God, that all started with Adam and Eve. And we see that fellowship with God, that vertical relationship, started with Adam and Eve, and really it was God's intent of what it was supposed to be before the fall. So when God talks about us having fellowship with him, you can begin to see that it was the same fellowship that he had with Adam, where he walked with him and spent time with him. And that's what's the meaning of it. Listen out of Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And listen closely to it. It's a passage you're probably familiar with, but you're going to see hopefully several things in there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Of course, that's after their sin, after their fall. And you might notice several things in this passage. You might notice that they heard God. They heard him walking. Remember, they had this fellowship. They'd hear him walking every day. And so when we're going to go across the street and we're going to be outside, and as I said, we love it. It's a beautiful day today. We've had some picnics in the rain. Thank God for the little overhead we have over the pavilion. But today's, it's not too hot. It's just nice day. It's a beautiful day. We love seeing the greenery. And it is beautiful. We live in a beautiful area, northeast Ohio. But can you imagine what the garden looked like? Do you have any concept of what the perfect garden, the perfect world before sin came, what that must have looked like? And so Adam and Eve lived in this beautiful garden with everything provided. In the midst of this tremendous beauty, walked daily God amongst them. In their busy lives or whatever kind of life they had, in their lives in the garden, tending and keeping it, they would listen and they would hear him coming. Literally, they heard him come in the garden. And they'd have fellowship with him. And so how important it is, that's an understanding of hearing from God and knowing that he's going to be with you and looking forward to that time every day. And so here, just after the fall, they heard him walking in the garden. But then they hid themselves. And so we see that in the scripture, that because of their sin, because of their separating themselves from God and God's will, they began to hide themselves. And so we see all that, but there's something in there that we don't always catch right away. God calls out to them, "Adam, where are you? Where are you?" Now, what does that mean to us? I mean, God knew where Adam was. God knows where you're at all the time, doesn't he? God knew where Adam was. God knew what Adam had done. So I believe that God was saying that to Adam to get his attention. God knew where he was. He wanted to know, does Adam understand where he's at? Do you understand where you're at, Adam? Do you understand what you've done? Do you understand where this sin has taken you? Where are you? What have you done? What have you done to our relationship? Where are you? Probably an important thing to ask ourselves every once in a while. Where are you with God? And God would call out to you, "Where are you? What have you done in your lives at times?" But there's another thing here, if you catch it, you can almost hear the longing in God's heart. Prior to this, man had an unbroken communion and fellowship with God. A fellowship that God designed, that God created, that God wanted. It was his plan, his purpose. He wanted this with man, just like he wants it with you today. And so all of a sudden, this broken fellowship, God felt he had lost something. Not only did man lose, but God lost that pureness of relationship that he enjoyed with man. It's different now. It had changed. Man was no longer waiting for his time with God. Man was hiding from God. And now God seeking him. Where are you? What are you doing? What's happened? I'm coming once again, but it's broken. And we know that sin changed all that. We understand that. We understand that sin brings broken fellowship. And sin in our life before knowing Christ, we had eternal broken fellowship. And so we begin to get a grasp of this church word, fellowship, how important it is. Because prior to accepting Christ in your life, prior to getting saved, prior to asking Jesus to come into your heart, you didn't really have fellowship with God. You didn't have that communion, that daily speaking, that daily knowing of who he is. You had an eternal broken fellowship. And man has been hungry for that fellowship that we were designed and created for ever since the fall. Man tries all sorts of things to try to replace that void that they have in that broken fellowship with God. He may even try religion. I'm not talking about a relationship with Christ. I'm talking about religion, man-made religion. There's no effect. It doesn't change the void. He may pursue pleasure. He's still empty. Whether it's sex or wealth or power or alcohol or drugs or pleasures, nothing satisfies. Everything besides God is counterfeit. The that place you have in your being, that hole in your heart, that is only filled by fellowship in the biblical sense with God. And from that moment in the garden, two things happened. One is man began to long for this fellowship with God. Man began to have a hunger for the fellowship with God. And God had a longing for fellowship with man and fellowship with you. Now, you might find that hard to believe. You may try to grasp that and say, I mean, God really has a longing to be with me? Just look at the cross. Look how far he went that he could once again have a holy, unbroken, righteous relationship with you. Look at the cross. Talk about longing for something. God had a hunger for fellowship with you. And it's good news because God is the only one that had the answer to restore the relationship. Amen? It was a good thing that he didn't say, I'm tired of you. I'm tired of this sin. I don't want anything to do with you. He had such a hunger to be with you, to know you, to have that daily time with you, that he said, I'll do everything I have to, even the cross, to restore that. And fellowship with God is that relational fellowship. It's not just a simple kind of, I know who you are, we're friends. It's a deeper and the truest understanding of sonship. Listen to 1 John 1:3. They proclaim this. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare with you. What's John saying? We've seen Christ. We declare Christ with you. That's what he's saying in that sentence. That which we have seen, Jesus, and heard Jesus, his salvation, we declare it to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And what's he saying? You know, I don't want to be just friends. I don't want to know you as an acquaintance. We're proclaiming Christ to you so you can fellowship with us, so you can have this deep common understanding, this bond, this give and this take, this deep community that you can have in your life. And so he proclaims it. That's what you have seen and heard. We declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. You get that? It's like he's saying to somebody, hey, we can be friends. We can be acquaintances. But you got to understand who we really hang with. Because of the washed, shed blood of Jesus Christ and washing our sins, we know him. We have fellowship. We have a fellowship with the Father. We have a communion and fellowship with the Son. And we want you to have communion and fellowship with us. And so you begin to understand the importance of sharing Christ and what it means to share Christ. But I want you to get a deeper understanding of this word fellowship. You know, this church word, this fellowship, that is so deeper. It's beyond just an acquaintance. Because what he's saying here is without Christ, you can't have fellowship. You can have friendship. You can have acquaintance. But you can't have the biblical understanding of fellowship because it's so much deeper. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Called because of the faithfulness of God and the work of Christ into fellowship with his Son. And so through fellowship, we get this sonship. And sonship is established, as we know, by accepting Christ as a Lord and Savior. Sonship establishes fellowship. You don't have fellowship without sonship, and you don't have sonship without knowing Christ. And fellowship with God causes growth and intimacy in your life. Before Christ, our relationship with God was non-existent. Regardless of what we thought, we might have prayed, we might have said all sorts of prayers, we might have went to church, we might have done all sorts of things, but without Christ, we really didn't have a relationship with the Father. You didn't know God. You thought you did, but you had religion. And so you didn't have fellowship, and you didn't have sonship. So the blood of Christ that we know and understand brought that sonship, that fellowship, and you begin to understand the deeper meaning of fellowship. Now, after Christ, we can still have sin in our life. Sin hinders our relationship, but after Christ, once we know him, we still have that sonship. See, you never stop being the Father's son or daughter. You have that. Even though you may have sin in your life, you're still a son. Just like you may have a son or daughter in your family, and they may do things that disappoint you. They may do things that hurt your relationship for a time, but they don't stop being your child. And so in the same way, when you have sin in your life, you begin to hurt that relationship with the Father. You have this difficulty, this brokenness, but you're still his son. You have broken fellowship. You're still sonship, but you begin to lose that deep, bond of community and fellowship with him. And how many times over the years we've looked at one of our favorite scriptures, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It means so much more than just what we totally grasp it. He is faithful. Besides us, doesn't matter what we've done, his faithfulness declares that he will do it. He is right to do it because he's paid the price. He is just in it. He has the right to forgive you. He's already paid the price. But he brings us back to cleanliness. He brings us back to righteousness. And I don't know about you, but that's better news than what you're shouting about this morning. That you're not even, we're not quite grasping that. Because we all know we have times in our life where we have sin. We all know when times we have broken that relationship with God through whatever we have in our heart. And if we come back to him, he is going to be faithful to say, not only will I forgive you, I'm going to cleanse that sin. I'm going to make you right once again and make you righteous before me. I don't know about you, but that's hard to grasp sometimes. And that's the truth of the word of God. And so true repentance is more than just a confession. It's understanding what's happening in your life and understanding that you have broken that fellowship with the Father, and God's going to come back and make it right. He's going to bring restoration. He's going to bring a refreshing. He's going to bring a revival in your life. And it's like if you could picture if a man and a wife had a husband and a wife had a horrible argument because of something. Let's say the man did something. Well, I know that's a little hard to imagine this morning. But let's say the man, as we are prone to do, did something horribly wrong. And so you have this deep, deep hurt in your relationship. Well, you might find a way of maybe you're going to bring a box of chocolates or some flowers. It's a start to try to apologize. Okay, that's a beginning. But if it's a deep hurt, if it's something that's, you know, an infidelity or a bad temper or selfishness, it's only the beginning. And whatever is hindering the relationship will never be right until you get to the core of the problem. You may say, I'm sorry, but you may keep doing it over and over. And what's going to happen to the relationship? Well, it's the same thing with our relationship with God. When we come to God, we say, Lord, I am sorry, I sinned again. And that's the start. But true repentance is saying, Father, I want to get to the core of this. I want to know why I keep doing this. I want to resolve the core of this. I want to take that thing out of my life so I stop doing this. It's more than just, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It's no, Father, I want that holy, pure fellowship. And true growth and intimacy in any relationship is dealing with the core problem. We know by Scripture, Romans 12 tells us to present our bodies before God a living sacrifice. It means his will, his plan are fully submitted in our lives to that. Whatever he wants for us, what his direction is for our lives, that's what we want. We don't conform to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind according to Romans 12. Why? We're listening to God. We're hearing from God. We're being led by God. And fellowship with God transforms us, shapes us. It changes our nature. We become like him. Can you think for a minute that the apostles, when they walked literally with Jesus for those 3 years, don't you think they were different people at the end of the 3 years than they were at the beginning? Daily they spent time with Christ. Daily they talked to Christ. Daily they heard from him. Daily they heard his voice, his pain, his joy, whatever it may be. They knew him. They knew who he was. They spent so much time with him. And we know biblically they were different. We got all kinds of examples of how they lived their life before and how they lived their life after. And so they were changed dramatically. Isn't that what our fellowship with Christ is supposed to do? Change us? Shouldn't we be different? And I don't mean different. I'm a far different person than I was before I met Christ. That's obvious. But should I even be different next week? Closer? Know him better? Less sin? Isn't that what fellowship, that deep understanding of who God is? And here's something that's very important. Our vertical relationship, our vertical fellowship with the Father blesses and changes our horizontal relationship with each other. It's important to grasp that. Because as important as our fellowship with the Father is, our fellowship with each other is very important, maybe even equally important. And one talks about the other, and one changes the other, one impacts each other. So when we gather together for a picnic, and we gather together once again to share a meal together, yeah, it's sharing the meal, and they'll be laughing, and they'll be kidding with each other. But understand, God wants something deeper than that. And our fellowship with the Father changes our horizontal relationship with each other. And think about it. When we get around somebody that really seems close to God or is really doing well with God, doesn't that help you? Doesn't that change you? How many of us would testify there's times when we've come into church and we're just dragging, or we're really hurting, or something's bothering us, and somebody came along and edified us or hugged us or blessed us or did something or said something to us that encouraged us. And we're drawn to them. So if you have a healthy vertical relationship with the Father, won't you be a greater blessing to those that you're having a horizontal relationship? And you'll be more humble. You'll be ready to receive from somebody else. You won't walk around thinking, well, I'm really doing good with the Lord today, and I don't really need these folks, but I can maybe help them. That's not what it's about. No matter where you are with God, you can always receive something from somebody else that knows him as well. Acts 2, verses 41 and 42 says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." We understand that at the beginning of the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and prayers. They continued. They didn't just get saved, didn't come forward and say, "This Jesus thing sounds like a good thing. I'm going to stay out of hell. I'm going to accept Jesus." No, it became a lifestyle. They continued steadfastly, daily in fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. You know, if we listen to Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And we know that verse, and we think about that verse, and we say, well, iron sharpens iron. We sharpen each other. We're good for each other. We kind of keep each other straight, and we bounce things off each other, and we kind of direct our lives when they get out of line, and you get sin in your life, and we direct that. That's all part of it. That's important. But listen to the verse closely. "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." A man sharpens everything about you, who you are, your countenance, your well-being. That being around each other changes your well-being to being better. When you're struggling, when you're dragging, that being around each other, being in fellowship, we begin to sharpen our countenance, to lift up our countenance. Who you hang around with, you fellowship, will have a big impact on your countenance. See, we begin to understand that there's a deeper meaning to fellowship, and who you hang around with, who you spend time with, will also have a big impact on your fellowship with the Father. Because you can't hang around with ungodly people a whole lot and have a healthy relationship with the Father. You know the expression, "Birds of a feather flock together." We're supposed to be building each other up, encouraging each other, supporting each other. The world will not encourage you, nor will they point you to Christ. When you're struggling, or when you're having something in your life, or even if you're just getting off in some wrong direction, the world will not point you back to the truth. They will not point you back to Christ. They won't do it. They won't look at your life and say, "Is this healthy for you? Is this right for you?" Or will they just encourage you when you're doing well? A few weeks back, I believe I shared the story about the time when I was in high school, and I'd been in and out of trouble. I was just kind of one of those kids, and got suspended a few times. I think you may remember the story. There was a young man that came to our school, I think in about January. I remember it was right around the middle of the year. He had been kicked out of another school because he'd been in so much trouble, totally kicked out. You remember the story? His parents sold their house and moved so he could have a fresh start. So they moved to a new neighborhood. They moved to where our school was. He comes to school. I met him on the first day. The second day he was there, we decided we'd skip class and go out and have a cigarette in the car, smoke in the car. That's what we did, you know? Birds of a feather flock together. Second day. Don't you know, we're in the car and the principal walks by. I think you remember the story. And the bottom line is, the short version of the story is, I didn't get suspended. I got kicked out of school. He said, "You can go home." I remember sitting in the principal's office figuring out I'll probably get a week off or 3 days. I was just a smart aleck kid. I was done. He says, "You're done with school. You'll never come back." And here's this poor kid. This other kid, his parents sold their house and moved, and the second day he was in school, they get kicked out of that school. Wouldn't that be a fun kid to have around, But whatever. So we get out of school, and I get kicked out, and I thought, okay, I'll get a job, I found out that wasn't so good. I work in a gas station, pumping gas the rest of my life, whatever. I met him. I saw him once or twice. Last I saw him, he was working on a garbage truck. I went back next year in September. They weren't going to allow me back in. And I begged and pleaded with them, if you just give me another chance, I won't get in trouble again. Just let me try one more time. So they did. They allowed me to come back in. And I think I shared with a few weeks, I never had another detention. Never got kicked out of school again. Never got in trouble. I'm not saying I didn't have problems in my life. But in school, I changed. Why? I learned something important. Who you hang around with has an impact in your life. I changed my friends as well. I knew the ones that would draw me into trouble and would cause me to get in problems. I stayed away from them. I made changes. And, of course, changed my life, really. I was able to finish high school, get other education, and move on beyond that. So your influence, we talked last week about the influence of people we hang around with. It's extremely important, your friends. The young kids that are in service this morning, the friends that you pick, the ones you choose as you move forward in school, are extremely important because they will impact your life. Listen to 2 Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Remember that fellowship is that common bond, that partaking together, that give and take. And it's important to understand something. Fellowship and friendship are not the same. Friendship is just being friendly with another person. Fellowship is that which is shared by people who have something in common. Fellowship includes friendship, but it's far more than that. We get together today for fellowship. It's far more than just being a friend. It includes accountability, encouragement, support, love, acceptance, understanding, knowing when somebody's struggling, knowing that somebody needs an understanding hand and not just a judgmental cluck of your tongue or a downward glance. It's grace, it's forgiveness, it's lifting up, supporting. Now, friends with people in the world, when you're healthy in the Lord, that's good, because then you're influencing them. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. It doesn't mean that you can't have friends. But what happens when your fellowship, your common bond, your sharing becomes with those in the world? What happens to you? See, it changes you. Fellowship of the world, you put you in the world, it makes you of the world also. It has an influence that changes who you are. There's a balance that's so important. Where are you drawing your strength from? How are you being sharpened, and who are you sharpening in this fellowship? Is your vertical relationship and fellowship with the Father strong enough and healthy enough to impact your horizontal relationship with each other? Because it's important to do that. We need each other. And it doesn't mean that you have to be this perfect, perfect, perfect Christian. That's a goal to move towards. It means that you have a healthy, vertical relationship with the Father, that you spend time with the Father, you spend time with Christ, you spend time in the Word, and you spend time in just knowing who He is. It'll have an impact with each other. Is your horizontal fellowship pointing you back to fellowship with God? The ones you're with horizontally, are they the ones that are encouraging you to go back to God? Are they pointing you back to the truth in everything of your life? Because we talk about food, fellowship, and fun. We need to understand something. Fellowship, biblically, is far more than just being friends. We need each other. As we move forward in what God's calling us to do in the new building, I see changes coming. I just know in my heart it's exciting. It's exciting to be there. It's exciting to be there when you're at the baseball and all these people around, and you think, God's going to save some of these people. They're going to come into this building. They're going to get saved. They're going to get changed. They're going to be touched by you. Your fellowship is going to begin to impact their lives. And guess what? They're going to bring things for you as well. They're going to bring things of encouragement, and it's just going to be a blessing. God has plans, and so it's important for us to understand that fellowship is a biblical term, a common bond, a sharing we can only do in Christ. Let's stand together. Let's worship our God.
feel the warmth of your hand. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time to rejoice in the picnic. We thank you for the time to rejoice in each other. And we thank you for this day to rejoice in you. We ask that your grace go before us, that your presence be with us, that your hand be upon each of us as we spend time fellowshipping with each other, getting to know each other better, just encouraging each other, looking forward to all that you have for each of us in our lives. We thank you, Father, as we gather in a little bit here to partake of a meal together, that you bless that food to bring health, nourishment, and healing to our bodies if need be. That you strengthen us, Father, and each other, that you strengthen us in our food and our life, and rejoice in who you are this day. And when your people go, Father, when they head on their way, that your angels will encamp about them and protect them and keep them. And all that they do, that your grace and blessing would rest upon their lives. In Jesus' name. Well, we'll see you across the street. I asked Tommy to have the food ready about 11:30. So guess what? You'll have a little time for fellowship, which would be good. The bathrooms in the community house will be open. If you need them over there, but feel free to use it. And we'll see you in a few minutes.